Yeah, so I was living out in Naklang originally for primary school. And so I stayed out there and moved into the big city for secondary school. So I went to Article Reach then.
And you're studying in UL at the moment, financial maths, and you're in your fourth year there. So I suppose with COVID-19 and everything's been shut down. So you're trying to study from home and complete the end of your year from home, which I'm sure is tough.
Yeah, so everything's just online nowadays. I mean, it's still covering the same content, so like I will get it done and I'll have my degree, but it's definitely a lot harder teaching yourself online.
I suppose in terms of FIFA, for people who wouldn't know what the game is, it's the biggest soccer game on the planet, football game, whatever way you want to call it. People play it across different devices, Xbox, PlayStation 4 and the likes. You're Ireland's number one FIFA player?
I am, yeah, and I've been for 3 years running.
3 years running, so that takes some going. Obviously, as I said, it's such a popular game and so many people play it, thousands upon thousands, millions even of people play it, and you're number one in Ireland. How did you go from maybe playing it recreationally, like most people do against their friends and the likes, to playing it professionally and getting to the top of the ladder in Ireland?
So, I mean, it can be a long story, but essentially, in FIFA 17, which would be 3 years ago now, they introduced this Foot Champions game mode within FIFA, and so it basically added a leaderboard, which has top 100 worldwide, top 100 Europe, and then later on there was top 100 in like the country and whatnot. But so basically I just started playing in that, and then when I started ranking higher and higher on the leaderboards, I was like, okay, maybe I'm kind of good, not too bad. But then FIFA 18, so for the month of November, you had to play for Champions throughout the whole month, and the top 64 people got invited to the first major in Barcelona, which was a $200,000 tournament, and I finished 16th in the world. So basically qualified for that, went out there, got scouted, joined Roma, the football club, but it has an esports team. And yeah, I was just basically pro player since then.
Yeah, talk to me a bit about that, because I think a lot of people will take a double take at that. So Roma, the actual football club, Roma, the famous club from Italy, they sign esports players as well as regular players, professionals that play on the pitch. And clubs across the world do this as well. They all seem to have, many of them have an esports branch. So basically, they signed you up on a contract. You're working under the same banner as all the top pros who actually ply their trade on the pitch.
Yeah, so it's the exact same club, like it's the same people, same organization. It's literally just a different job title almost.
And what do you do then when you sign for Roma? What do you do? You go and you play competitions. Do you play with teammates? Do you play individually? What way does it work after you actually sign for the club?
So there's different sort of events. So you've got like a Club World Cup, which Roma would be the club, and you play under that team, and you'd have a teammate. But then you've also got your individual global competitions where, whilst you're playing alone, you're representing Roma. So you're wearing the jersey, Roma's in your name. You're basically just advertising for the club. You know, you're trying to bring them success. So there's a few different aspects.
And did you manage to bring them success? Obviously, you've come home to now work on your studies. But when you were with Roma, did you manage to bring them any level of success?
Yeah, so we won the GFIN Elite Series twice. We went back-to-back, which was a major competition. And so, yeah, that was a pretty big deal at the time because it was the first silverware that Roma really achieved.
And these events are played in front of live audiences. Obviously, there's a couple of thousand, there's thousands in attendance at these things. How different is it from sitting down, we'll say, as you said, you were basically playing in your own bedroom or your living room as you made your way up the ranks? How different is it to be playing in front of a live crowd and their reactions to what's going on in the game? I'm sure there's a bit more added pressure there.
Yeah, it's definitely added pressure, but it's also like, I don't know, it does make it more fun almost, you know, to have like a crowd going. It's similar to playing like a football match, right? You can play just practicing or whatever, but then when you actually play in front of a crowd, it's just, it gives you that extra bit of atmosphere, and it just really adds to it. But of course, it does add extra pressure, and your heart does definitely beat a little faster.
Like the esports industry just overall is massive, isn't it? I mean, it centers around obviously competitive gaming. It's not just FIFA. There's plenty of other games obviously within that world. But talking about some of the bigger events, we'll say, I know there's been a couple in the US, there's been a couple in Asia as well, with one particular game, and you might give me the name of it in a moment, but where they'd fill out basically soccer stadiums with fans. Like the esports industry is massive.
Yeah, well, you got the League of Legends World Finals every year in October, which is just huge. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's like 40, 50, 60,000 seater stadium. And then it hits the millions in terms of unique viewers, which is just a crazy number.
In terms of the FIFA side of it then, compared to that, it wouldn't be as big. But in terms of people going to these events and watching online, the numbers are still very big. So I'm sure it's still a lucrative industry.
Yeah, it's still hundreds of thousands of viewers. And when there's that many eyes on something, there's big name sponsors as well. So, I mean, it's still quite a big industry.
And is this something, after you finish your degree and you get through fourth year this year, is it something that you're going to dedicate all your energy to? And is it something that you see yourself doing well into the future? And financially, does it make sense to go down that road?
Yeah, it is something I'm definitely 100% committing to. I mean, I will have my degree, you know, just in case. But it is something that you can definitely do long term as well. And I do plan to go into like management, coaching. There's a lot of areas after you finish playing. So, I mean, it doesn't just cut off at 30.
In terms of then, I suppose, as a career, are you looking at, and not to pry too much into it, what type of figure would you be looking at, I will say, the top FIFA player in the world? What would they be taking in, would you think?
Oh, easily over six figures, like a good few would be.
Well, I think, I suppose, there'll be people listening to this, maybe a younger generation or kids or the likes, and that's pretty much a dream job. I mean, it would have been a dream job of mine probably growing up playing video games if you thought you could play games for the rest of your life and make a living off it. But I'm sure at a certain point it is work and it's not always fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, the training behind it does get very rigorous because, you know, playing games is fun, but when you have to commit to maybe 8-hour days, 6 days a week of the same game, just repetitive and improving your craft, can get a little tiring, but I mean, it's still really good and better than a normal 9-to-5, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of people would agree with that. So you're sitting down, you're playing the same game for 8 hours, you're trying to obviously improve your craft, but you're indoors, you're sitting down, you're obviously looking at a screen. How do you kind of try to balance that? Because I suppose mentally and physically, I suppose you need to try and balance it out. Do you try to get out, get a bit of fresh air, exercise in the interval, or what way do you try and balance it?
Oh, 100%. Like, I can't even stay playing for longer than 2 hours. I gotta get out of the house, you know, go to gym, even go for a walk, play a game of football, do anything. 2 hours is pretty much where I start myself.
In terms of people who might be listening who'd like to maybe get into the esports industry in one way or another, whether it be FIFA or whether it be another game, what advice would you give to those people, probably maybe a younger generation listening on?
Well, I mean, it depends where exactly you want to go, because there's so many opportunities from like management to editing to obviously just playing. But I mean, if you want to do one of the other jobs, you can just contact any number of esports teams and see if you can find your way in there. But if you do want to compete, I'd say get the game, play a lot, practice, enter a few of the minor tournaments, which you can just enter, and kind of gauge your skill gap from there.